Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. Okay, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called Transforming How I See and Use Money.
So don't love it, don't trust it, don't waste it. The fourth thing God says is don't expect it to satisfy. If you think having more will make you more happy, make you more secure, make you more important, make you more valuable, you are seriously misguided. Because it's not going to satisfy. The more you have, the more you want. Somebody asked Howard Hughes, how much does it take to make a man happy? He said, just a little bit more. There's always more. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10 says this in the Bible. Whoever loves money will never have enough. So you can't love it. And whoever loves wealth will never be satisfied with his income. Because you always want more. That's why Jesus says this in Luke 12. Guard against all kinds of greed. Because your life is not measured by how much you own. Your self-worth has no connection to your net worth. Your valuables do not determine your value. So don't think, I have a lot, so I'm worth a lot. No, you're not. You're worth a lot simply because Jesus died for you. God made you. Jesus died for you. The Spirit wants to live in you. That's how much you matter to God. Now, that verse we've been looking at all for 7 weeks. Don't conform to the way the world thinks about any of these areas, but be transformed by the way you think. The renewing of your mind. And so what I want us to look at in this story are the five things God says about money. And these are so radical, they're so revolutionary, they're so counterculture, they are the exact opposite, as I said, of everything you've been taught. But if you act on these and you remember these and you live by these, the stress level in your life is going to go down dramatically. Okay, here they are. Five things we learn from this story. Number one, every day I need to remember it all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. The whole universe belongs to God. You belong to God. The heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the plants, the rocks. Everything ever created belongs to God. You don't really own anything. What you think you own is really on loan. You didn't own it before you were born. You're not going to own it after you die. God just loans it to you for 80 years. It was loaned to somebody else before you were born. It's going to be loaned to somebody else after you die, and you get to use it while you're alive. You don't loan anything. In this story, the owner has all this property, and he lets a manager take care of his property. We're all in management. You may not realize this, but you're in management. God has put some things in your life under your management. Everything you have is a gift from God. You'd have nothing if it weren't for God. You wouldn't take your next breath if it weren't for God. So it's all a gift. It's God's love for you. Everything, your life, your brain, your thoughts. You say, I worked with my hands to get this. Who do you think gave you your hands? It's all a gift from God. But it's all on loan. It's really God's, and he's loaned it to you. And God is seeing what you're going to do with it. We're all in management. Now, if you'll start looking at everything in your life this way, that I don't really own anything. It all belongs to God, and it's just loaned to me for a while. Your worry's going to go. You see, if you go out after the service, and you get in your car, and you say, this isn't my car, it's God's car. And then you go home, and you say, this is God's house, not my house. And then you sit down and eat some meal on a dish, and this is God's dish. And when you get in bed tonight, you say, this is God's bed. He's loaned it to me, and I get to use it. I get to take care of it. I get to manage it, but it's really God's. Everything is really God's. What will happen is your worry goes down. Why? Well, let's say you're driving a car and you're in an accident. You get a fender bender, and you say, hey, God, you got a dent in your car. It's not my car. You loaned it to me. You gave me the money to get it. What do you want to do about your car, God? You want me to fix it? Your kids need braces? Say, hey, God, your kid needs braces. What are you going to do? See, here's the point. If I'm in charge, if I'm God, if I'm the master of my fate, then I got to pay for it all. I got to worry about where it's going to come from. But if I'm really just a child of God, I'm just his child, and he's loaned me these things, and I'm just to manage it, I'm not responsible to pay for it all. Does that make sense? If I'm the employee and God's the employer, he is ultimately in charge of the benefits package. It all belongs to God. Now, in the first verse of this story, it says, the owner enlisted a manager to take care of his property. Question, how well are you taking care of God's property? Your body, it doesn't really belong to you. God made it. How well are you taking care of your body? Your time, your opportunities, your mind, how well are you taking care of your mind? Your talents, how well are you taking care of your talents? What are you doing with whatever God has given you? It all belongs to God, and you are to make the most of what you've been given. The rest of the fact of this verse says the guy was wasting his master's possession. Anytime I waste money, I'm wasting God's money. That'll change the way you buy stuff. You know, nobody in the mall right now is going, I think I'll just blow God's money on this piece of junk because I just want to have it. No, it's God's money. It'll change the way you think. Number one, it all belongs to God. Number two, second truth to remember, and I need to remind myself of this every single day, is this. God is using money to test me. God is using money to test me. He's testing all kinds of things in my life. You see, God doesn't just automatically give his blessings to anybody. He tests you first to see if you're responsible, if you can handle it. And if you can't handle it, he's not gonna trust you with it. God doesn't give his spiritual power to just anybody. And he says, before I give you spiritual power, I'm gonna give you some material possessions. And I'm gonna see if I can trust you with material possessions, then I can trust you with spiritual power. But if you're not even managing your money well, why in the world should I give you the stuff that really matters? This is a test. Life is a test, life is a trust, and life is a temporary assignment. This life is preparation for the next. This is the get ready stage. This is the warm-up act before the real race begins. It's the first race around the track before the real race begins. This is the dress rehearsal before the real play begins, which is gonna go on for eternity. And God is testing you on earth to see what he can trust you with in eternity. And the Bible says if you're faithful in little things, then you will be faithful in much in heaven. So God is using money to test me. And God is testing your faithfulness, and he's testing you all the time, and he's testing you every minute. And God's favorite tool to test you, listen, is finances. It tests all kinds of things. In fact, it tests three things. Write these down. Number one, money tests, it shows what I love most. How I spend my money reveals to God and everybody else what I love most. Now, whatever you love most is what you're going to give your most time to and you're going to give your most money to. I don't care what you say you love. If you really want to know what you love most, look at your calendar and look at your credit card statements. Because the way you spend your time and your money tells me what you love the most. When I first fell in love with Kay, I could not keep money in my pocket. It was like burning a hole in my pants. And I was constantly buying her things because I was so in love with this young woman. I just, you know, wanted to buy her stuff. And I bought her all kinds of stuff she didn't need or want, but I just thought I'd see something on TV, Kitchen Magician. Oh man, she'd like that. That'd be great. I'm gonna get that. And the Oriental Walk Steamer. Give me two of those things, okay? All right, and the Ginzu knives. Oh man, we got three or four sets again. I was buying her stuff all the time. She said, honey, stop. You spell love G-I-V-E. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so what I do with my money shows what I love most. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this. Don't store up treasure here on earth. In other words, don't pile it up, don't hoard it. Instead, store up treasure in heaven. We'll talk about how to do that later. For wherever your treasure is, that's where what? Yeah, your heart will be. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be. So wherever you want your heart to be, put your money there, and you'll get interested in it. Believe me, the moment you put money into something, you get interested in it. Right now, most of you couldn't care less how Microsoft does as a company. But if you bought some stock, all of a sudden you're very interested in whether that company succeeds or fails. Because you have just invested in it. You have put your treasure, and where your treasure is, your heart is. You couldn't care less about Toyota. But if you bought some stock in it, all of a sudden you would want that company to succeed. Because where you've put your treasure, that's where your heart goes. So God is saying, God uses money to test to show what I really love most. Number two, money shows what I really trust most. It shows what I have faith in. Am I trusting in my money for security, or am I trusting in God for my security? Am I trusting in money for my happiness, or am I trusting in God for my happiness? Am I trusting in money for my fulfillment to make me feel good about me, or am I trusting in God to make me feel good about me? It shows what I trust most. It's the acid test of faith. Proverbs 20:11-28 says this. If you trust in your money, you will fall. But if you trust in God, you'll flourish like a green tree. You know, if you're saying, you know, I don't really feel close to God right now. In fact, I feel pretty distant. My spiritual life is stuck at dead center. I got the spiritual blahs. I'm not growing. There's no power in my life. I don't feel close to God. I would challenge you to check your checkbook. You know, what am I using my time and my money on? It shows what I trust, and it shows what I love. And then the third thing it tests, and this is the big one that this story is about, is it shows if God can trust me. This is the reverse. It doesn't just show if I trust God, it shows if God can trust me. Because God says, I'm looking to see how well you manage material things before I give you spiritual blessings. Can I trust you with more, or are you blowing it with what little I've given you? You see, out of control finances reveal an out of control life. Okay? Unmanaged finances are a symptom of an unmanaged life. You need a manager. You need a Lord. You need a Savior. You need a CEO of your life. You need God, because your life has become unmanageable. Now, the next verse that we're going to look there on the outline, verses 11 and 12, this is one of the most important scriptures in the entire Bible. When I understood this verse, when I finally understood the meaning of this verse, it so radically changed my life about 40 years ago, I never looked at money the same way again. And I got off the rat race. You know, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. So why do you want to run the rat race? I mean, why try to keep up with the Joneses? They just refinance and file for bankruptcy. Now, here's what the Bible says, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this, very important. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And God's looking at you. Can I trust you to give you more or not? Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And who's ever irresponsible, obviously, with little, or be irresponsible with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. Circle that phrase, trustworthy in handling worldly wealth. What is that? That's a phrase that means if you're not a good money manager, if you're spending more than you make, if you're not saving for the future, if you're not investing at all, if you're working for your money instead of your money working for you, if you're not really good at managing your money, he says, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? You don't own anything here on earth. In heaven, God wants to give you your own stuff. He wants to bless you for eternity. But God says, if I can't trust you with little and what is on loan to you, why should I give you more? I mean, what if the world's wealthiest man, you were the child of the world's wealthiest man? You were Warren Buffett or somebody's daughter or son. And your dad came to you and said, one day I want to give you everything I've got. You're going to inherit it all. But I'm not going to give it to you right now. In fact, I'm going to give you a little bit right now, just a tiny, tiny bit, and I'm going to see how well you handle it. And if you manage it well, I'm going to give you the whole thing. That's exactly what Jesus is saying right here. Who will give you your own? Jesus says, how I handle money determines how much God can bless my life. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. Now that is a mind blower when you think about it, that there's a direct connection between maturity and money. There's a direct connection between spiritual power and how I handle possessions. There is a direct connection between God's blessing in my life and what I do with my bucks. You've never heard that before, but that's exactly what Jesus says right there. There is a connection. Now, here's the third truth you got to remember. And these are all important, but they build in radical. First, it all belongs to God. And second, God is using money to test me. Number three, money is a tool. Money is a tool to be used for God's purposes. You say, what do you mean money is a tool? Doesn't the Bible say money is the root of all evil? No, it does not say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay? Money is neither good nor bad, right nor wrong. It's just there. It can be used to build great churches, or it could be used to finance drugs. It's just a tool. Luke 16, verse 9, notice he says, I tell you, Jesus says, use your worldly wealth. Circle the word use. Now, remember earlier we said we're not to love it, and here he says to use it. Okay, everybody look up here. This is really important. The Bible says you are to love people and use money. Love people, use money. Now, the problem is everybody gets that reversed. And when you start loving money, you use people. You end up using people to get more money. The Bible says love people are to be loved and money is to be used. And if you start loving money, you're going to start using people. God says, that's bad. Personal foul. You're out of the game. Money is a tool to be used for God's purposes. We are to use it. We're not to hoard it. We're not to stockpile it. We're not to worship it. Somebody said, money is like manure. It said, you know, if you spread it all around, it makes things grow. But if you pile it up, it starts stinking. He's saying, use temporary resources, what God has put in your hand, for permanent good.
What if one simple habit could transform your life forever? Introducing 52 Verses to Transform Your Life, a powerful collection of Bible verses specially selected by Pastor Rick to equip you with wisdom, clarity, and purpose. Each verse will help inspire action, ignite growth, and align your life with God's plan. Whether you're stepping into a new season, overcoming challenges, or chasing big dreams, these cards will empower you to live boldly and intentionally. Start your journey of transformation today by requesting the 52 Verses to Transform Your Life scripture card set when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the Word of God to the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.